Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 292 of Her, the podcast where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and her hormones. Oh my goodness, however, you know, out of sync they are. But anyway, before we begin this terrific show, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils, customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. We'd love to hear from you, so I'll remind you in a little bit again. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life. It's all about her.
Hey, have you ever gone to a university? Well, of course you have. But have you ever been to Hormone University? Hormone University. Go ahead and Google it. We have created Hormone University to provide knowledge from experts, create positive social impact, and a healthier world. Oh my goodness. I just love it. All right. Who do we have? Anna Herrera. Now, Hormone University was born in 2020 as an educational platform with the mission to improve hormone health through knowledge and advocate for social impact in our communities. So its founder is, of course, Anna Herrera. Now, she suffered from stage 4 endometriosis for years and went through 5 surgeries and, like everyone else out there, was experiencing hormone imbalances. And then she needed to be able to take care of herself. I'm not going to tell her story. I want her to do that because she does it so beautifully. And we're going to talk about all things Hormone University. Anna, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Palmer. What a wonderful introduction. Thank you so much.
Oh, I just love doing those intros. It's way fun, Anna. It's like... So tell me.
Put a smile on my face.
Well, all right. Why Hormone University? Tell us your story, because raise your hand out there in the Her podcast land. Do you know of anyone in your life, including yourself, who's ever had endometriosis? Well, we're going to learn about that, right? Because this is what happened to Anna. Anna, take it away.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Palm. So it's endometriosis actually is suffered by many women. It's 1 out of 10. And more recent studies and a few of the interviews that we've done with some experts in endometriosis is even 2 out of 10 suffer from this condition. And my hormonal imbalance actually started when I was 21 years old. I started with fibroids, which is a very, very common condition, but my periods were very, very painful. And that was basically my first surgery at that point in time. Some years later, a couple of years later, I continued having these horrible, horrible, excruciating pain periods. And so I was lucky, and I say lucky because there are still many women that do not get diagnosed endometriosis. It takes an average of 8 years to get it diagnosed. I was lucky. I was diagnosed with endometriosis through an ultrasound. And I think this is an important point for your audience because not every OBGYN understands this condition. And so I want to tell all women out there, make sure that if you feel the classic symptoms, you know, which usually starts with very, very difficult cramps and pain, then you should really do your homework and go to whoever has got a history of diagnosing endometriosis. So after that, I was basically living in pain around 40% of the time. in my life. So you can just imagine out of 1 month, you know, and make that, you know, multiply that by years. 40% of all those years, I was in pain. That was horrible. And, you know, I went through vomiting and diarrhea. And I'm sorry to be so straightforward, but that's just
hey,
how it was.
This is a medical podcast, man. And,
right.
You know, if there's not a woman out there who can't begin to identify. And I think it's important for women to also hear the personal and very real experience that you had, because a lot of people don't fully understand what happens when you have endometriosis. So go ahead, vomit and diarrhea away.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I fainted quite a few times. I had to basically cancel trips because I was crawling on the floor with pain. I remember this one time specifically, I was due to fly to Norway. We had a press event. I was in charge of a hair care brand, a global hair care brand. And it was so exciting, launching in a new market. And we were going to go there, meet the press with my R&D team and the founder of that hair care brand. And I had to cancel last minute. I was crawling on the floor. I had to call at 6 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, I just can't do it. Because my usual MO was, okay, I'll get on with life and stuff myself with anti-inflammatory drugs. That was the way I could survive this. So it was very, very tough. Very, very tough. And usually what also I experienced personally was that when I went through a very tough period of stress, whether it was personal stress, I remember when my father passed away, that was very, very stressful and sad moment in my family, or just a very stressful time at work. About 6 months later, I got a flare-up, like a bad flare-up. And I think that Dr. Pam, you know this much better than me. When your cortisol levels go up, your immune system goes down.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Everything gets, you know, inflamed inside of you, right? So I think that there is a straight correlation with stress and endometriosis. And so fast forward, I'm about 37. I have gone through already, I believe, 3 or 4 surgeries at this point in time. I was married at the time and we wanted to have a baby. So I had a very, very low chance of conceiving and I knew that, but we still went through IVF, which was an absolute disaster. And the doctor basically told us, well, really sorry, you have less than 10% chance of conceiving even with IVF. Which was, you know, a kind of a wake-up call at that point in time of, okay, here is my journey of accepting that I will probably not have children naturally or with IVF. So, you know, that was psychologically very, very tough. And then, unfortunately, fast forward, or fortunately, 2 years later or so, my marriage broke down, and again, another very, very strong period of stress. And 2 years ago, I boarded on a plane going back to Spain, my country, and I had a huge, huge flare-up. I was on the plane in tears, and I'm not one of these women. You know, we're always taught to just suffer in silence, right?
Suck it up. Suck it up. That's what we're
Keep
told.
Keep strong.
That's,
you know,
right.
Put in the brave face, and you're on a plane, and you don't want to be embarrassed, right? And but I just
That's
couldn't
correct.
Hold it anymore. I couldn't hold it anymore, and I was lucky. There was a nurse sitting next to me, and there was a pharmacy sitting behind me, and the guy.
Man, you got like a whole hospital around you,
right? I'm like, wow, this is great fate, right? I'm dying with pain. Uh-huh. But I have a team next to me. And so, yeah, you know, I got back home and I went straight to hospital. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't sleep. And I also want to mention something, Dr. Pam. Just 6 months before, and this is just a, you know, purely a hypothesis. I have no proof, no medical proof. But 6 months before, I decided to get the IUD. I believe it was the Mirena one or the copper one. I can't remember, but it was literally 6 months before that. And then this happened. So when the doctors did the ultrasound, you know, all the tests, etc., they basically said, this is not looking good. So at that point in time, my colon had a deep infiltration. So I had stage 4 endometriosis. And I also had basically all my reproductive organs completely blocked and covered and infiltrated with endometriosis. So the only way out was basically to perform a full hysterectomy. And initially they said it's going to be a laparoscopy. But when I woke up, they had to, you know, I saw that they had to open me up. So they had to cut my colon. It's called colon resection, and put it back together. And they took all my reproductive organs out. So that basically meant I went through surgical menopause, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was, in case you missed it out there, that was like big time sarcasm.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, so you basically had everything removed, meaning you had the uterus, the ovaries, and as well, you had to have parts of the colon where the endometrial tissue had begun to grow and to cause problems. Is that correct?
Correct. Exactly. And to be honest, that was one of my main concerns. The doctors were extremely informative and they really managed my expectations. And I was psychologically prepared. Still, right? You're like, oh my God, what if there is a complication? And so thankfully,
right,
the team was incredible and they basically did a great job. So I've been living pain-free, but of course, the consequence of all of that was menopause.
And how old were you when the menopause was, when it took place because of the surgery? In other words, you had overnight menopause.
Yeah.
So how old were you roughly?
40.
Okay, at the age of 40, correct? So newsflash to everyone out there, we're going to take a moment and have a little science break. All right, so here it comes. Perimenopause is a period of time that can be up to 15 years. And it can begin as early as the 30s when a woman naturally, gradually, methodically begins to experience a change in her sex hormones, with estrogen being the most potent, meaning that her body has gotten used to estrogen for a long time, ever since, of course, we start having menstrual cycles. And so almost every tissue of the body is influenced by the estrogen. All right. Typically, a natural menopausal journey involves at least 10 years of weaning off the estrogen, which is going to settle down to very little, unless you're doing hormonal replacement therapy. So that's normal because your body needs some time. What happens, however, when you're jerked right out of normally having your menstrual cycles and doing your thing? And this, by the way, also happens with women who are thrown into menopause because of cancer-related therapies, for instance. So it's surgery and cancer-related therapies that really do this in a big way. What happens when you're thrown into it within 24 hours? The body gets the royal slap in the head. It's like a 2x4 to your head. And it is very rough when you're experiencing hot flashes, which are the vasomotor symptoms that are taking place as your body is trying to adapt now to no longer having the normal levels of estrogen that you had for so many years, and let alone anyone who's ever gone through perimenopause, menopause knows that there's just an entire constellation of problems that take place. Everything from changes in your hair to your skin to your vaginal mucosa to your eyesight to your cognition. It goes on and on. So here we are, Anna, you're thrown into menopause. So is this something that began in your mind, this whole journey to putting together Hormone University?
Correct. Yes. I wish I knew, you know, back then when I was 23, 24, I wish I knew what I know now. And what I realized is that I have seen that there is no straight talk. And I'm so glad that you're doing this podcast, by the way, Dr. Palm. It's very straight talk. It's easy to understand language. And that's my whole purpose. So I started first by volunteering with the Endometriosis Foundation of America. I am now part of their advisory board. And I'm just big about education and becoming your own advocate and understanding what's going on with your body and trying to find prevention rather than, you know, then you go through five surgeries and menopause. That's just horrible. So the whole goal of Hormone University is to make sure that for anyone out there that they truly understand and that they have information at their fingertips about hormonal conditions. And the other thing that I, you know, social impact, I believe, is so key and so important. And so another one of the initiatives that we're doing is 35 states in the U.S. still have the tampon tax. So believe it or not, tampons and menstrual care, they are still considered luxury goods. Whoever made that up, I don't know. And so we're on a mission to create a petition and signatures so that we can change that state by state. So that's another one of our goals.
Whoa. All right. We're going to, you know, start rocking it here. And basically, you know, you want to make a social impact. So what is this social impact you want to make? What is that about?
Look, education has a social impact. I think it's the basis, it's the foundation of all of us, right? When we know about a certain subject and we have knowledge, we can do something about it, you know, whatever subject that is. And so I think it has an impact. It has an impact in your loved ones, your family, your friends. Whatever you know, you can pass it on. And that's the goal. That's the goal, is that ripple effect.
I love it. And you're really talking about promoting women's access to sustainable menstrual care products. And you've partnered with periodnow.org. I mean, there's some very interesting statistics here that are on the website, which I think is fabulous. Again, it's hormone-university.com. And, you know, for instance, a survey of low-income women in a large U.S. city finds that nearly two-thirds couldn't afford menstrual hygiene products such as tampons or pads during the previous year. This is so important. And at the same time, I think you're making a big difference by bringing to center focus this whole condition of endometriosis, which I think is really poorly understood by women everywhere. It's not like you hear about it all day long. And also to realize that at least 20% of those women with endometriosis will end up like you with surgery. And because of that, what are we doing to help them? What are we doing to be able to be there for them so that they don't feel so alone? That's why I love this, you know, what you're doing with the endometriosis society and association, as well as your own hormone university, you are certainly an articulate messenger about all things endometriosis, say. And I think it's important for women to wrap their heads around that because, you know, it's interesting when I've reached out and I've spoken with women, I said, well, I mentioned the word endometriosis. Immediately I'm getting nods like, yeah, mm-hmm, my mother had that. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, my sister had that, had to have surgery, and on and on. And it's so damn painful. And people weren't listening to me. Hello, providers out there. Are we listening to women? We blowing them off? Are we truly listening to their journey and wrapping our heads around what they need as we're going forward? That's what this is so. That's why this is so important. So, what are your visions for Hormone University? What do you want to do with it?
Yeah, we have plans to do quite a few things. Number one is of course education. And we need to grow our audience, and that's one of our main goals. And the other thing that we also want to do about social impact is provide tools for research. And that's the kind of marriage that I have with the Endometriosis Foundation of America, right? I want to make sure that that research money that they're getting is going somewhere. And also, I think that's a third point. In the future, I'm thinking of creating also my own brand, a natural brand that talks to women suffering from PMS and menopause. But that's kind of longer term. That's kind of a dream come true. But the kind of immediate goals are about education, social impact, and making sure that, you know, low-income groups have also access to menstrual care.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I love that. I mean, really what you're doing is you're just expanding on this entire opportunity to be able to educate and be an advocate. Yeah. And also to take that smart head of yours in terms of retail and in terms of creating brands and do something really innovative. Especially within this entire sphere. I'm tired, finally, of women just having to sit back and settle for whatever's out there. I'm sorry. You know, for every hormonal milestone of a woman's life, there should be something there for her that is more customized and individualized. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
God, I'm
very
thinking,
good point.
You know, doesn't that make sense? Well, hell, we do it for vitamin supplements. I wouldn't want to take a child's vitamins, right? At the same time, you know, they have vitamin supplements for women who are pregnant. They have it for younger women. They have it for women who are 50 and over, called masters. I love that. I love being master of my entire universe. And then on and on it goes. But, you know, it's like giving a nod to the fact that we have a very long, knock on wood, life journey, that we're going to go through a lot of physiologic milestones, and we're going to have challenges like what you went through. You know what the old saying is, you know, woman makes plans and God laughs. So we make plans to have a perfectly swimmingly easy day of it all. And then boom, you know, in comes something from left field, just like it happened to you. So as we wind down here, give us a couple little wise points, something you want to share to be able to give women hope that, you know, there's someone out there for them.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of things. I do encourage women to talk. We've had on our Instagram profile some women that have sent us a message saying, you know, I'm suffering in silence. I can't bring myself to talk to my husband about it or talk to my sisters or my brothers or whoever it is. And what I would say is show up and speak up. It's so important. There is nothing embarrassed about it, right? I made that, I would say, mistake. I was, you know, an executive, and I was on the board with three male partners. And when I was bending down in pain, I was just, you know, masking it. And that's wrong. That's totally wrong. It took me quite a long time to finally send an email to my CEO and say, well, this is what I'm going through. To which he never replied, by the way, you know, obviously feeling awkward. So I would say just, you know, speak up, definitely. The second point that I want to make is, if you have symptoms, anxiety, mood changes, painful periods, whatever it is, I mean, it doesn't even need to be just your period. Hair loss, there are so many different factors that are caused by hormonal imbalance. I would say go and get a test. Test yourself. We don't get tested enough with our hormones. We need to have this information. And then the third thing is take control of your habits, right? Like commit to yourself. One of the things that we're launching on our website is it's just a one-pager journal. It's a wellness journal where you can just track what you do on a daily basis, during the day and during the night. And I think that's important to commit that to ourselves. You know, I'm going to do some exercise on a daily basis. I'm going to be careful with my caffeine intake. I am going to sleep 8 hours or whatever I need, and I'm not going to feel guilty about it. So, yeah, I think those three points are very important. And yeah, those are my key conclusions.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And you heard what she said, what Anna said, and that is that do me a favor, talk, communicate,
right.
Network, reach out for help. Don't be shy. And you know something, you said it yourself. We've got a little ways to go, right, girlfriend? You know, in terms of getting the boys on board with this, I'm not asking any man out there to go, dude, I get it totally. You know, how in the hell could they? However, what you can do, guys, wherever you are, is to make life a little bit more welcoming, to be empathetic and compassionate, because women go through so much more that you do not. And that includes everything from just menstrual cycles, the usual menstrual cycles from hell, and then pregnancy, perimenopause, infertility, all of those things are figuring in as well. Very, very important to understand that women need to have a more welcoming environment within which to talk about all this. Speaking of which, you know, one of the things I love so much about your Hormone University website is under the editorial click down, there's just like a huge laundry list of things that you need to know out there. Pregnancy and birth, pregnancy lost, sex and intimacy, right? You also have expert interviews, which I absolutely love, mindfulness and how it plays a role in mental health, holistic treatments and lifestyle habits, hormonal testing, food, fertility, birth control, menopause, menstruation. I mean, congratulations to you for really putting together a comprehensive go-to that I wanted to share with all of my wonderful listeners on the Her podcast. So again, you want to go to hormone-university.com and learn about all of these fabulous resources. Anna, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the Her podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pam, for having me. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
Marvelous. And everyone out there, run on over to iTunes right now, rate and review the show while all this is fresh in your feminine minds, because I want to hear from you. Why? Because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek, Twitter at Pam Peek MD, and Instagram at Pam Peek MD. Remember to catch every single episode of the Her podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. Please stay safe and stay well.